be prepared to receive the word. Amen. Shall we all rise? Shall we all stand? Well, we are going to call our brother who is going to bring us the word of God, our brother William.
Let us pray. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? Lord, I pray for your strength. Let I pray for your wisdom. Let I pray for your power. That your Holy Spirit will come right now and fill me up, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Let the church say amen. Whilst you're still standing, can you open your Bibles to the book of Psalms? Psalm 44. We're reading from verse 1 to verse 8. Reading from the King James Version, and it is my prayer that whatever versions you have, you may be able to follow accordingly. Psalm 44. If you are there, say amen. I read, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our Father, have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand, and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee, we will push down our enemies. Through thy name, will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us." Verse 8. "In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever and ever." That is the reading of God's word. Can we say amen? And we have our seats. Today I'm going to speak on the topic, the secret of a conqueror. The secret of a conqueror. A couple of years ago, I think about 5 years ago, I did a sermon series on the book of Psalms. A two-part series on the book of Psalms. And I was quick to point out that one of the things that you need to recognize about the book of Psalms is who wrote the Psalms. Who wrote the Psalms in the Bible? Quickly, when you ask a question about who wrote the Psalms, people are quick to point out that David wrote the Psalms. But in truth, David wrote so many Psalms, but only 73 made their way into the Bible. David is only credited with 73 of the 150 Psalms in the Bible. The rest of the Psalms were written by Asaph, Jeduthun, Solomon, Ethan, Moses, Haman, and the Psalm which we just read was written by the three sons of Korah. And the rest of the Psalm, where the Bible does not actually articulate who or confirm who wrote the Psalms, they left it as unknown. Unknown. So in this Psalm that we're talking about, written by the three sons of Korah, these are Psalms that they were lamenting about something that had happened. So it's kind of interesting that when I got the text from Pastor, it said the secret of a conqueror, I began to look at that. Psalm 44 is nothing that anybody should boast of, say, I'm a conqueror, when you read Psalm 44. Because it's a psalm, it's a very disturbing psalm written by the three sons of Korah, of Korah, their names are Asir, Elkanah, and Abiasaph. Those three sons of Korah were trained in the temple, and they wrote these psalms to lament about things that had happened. Now, in the context of the psalm, Israel has been defeated in battle. They're not only defeated, they were defeated woefully, embarrassed, tarnished, battered. And you know, like the English have, they say they were going back with their tails between their legs. And yet, they wrote this psalm trying to pick themselves up and trying to explain the story. But the thing is, they opened up the psalm by giving thanks to God. So this drew my attention that we're only restricted to the first 8 verses of the psalm, where it all talks about how good God has been to you. Then from verse 9, going down to the last verse, it's not pretty at all. It's not pretty at all. So then you ask now the question, if with reference to this psalm, what then is the secret of a conqueror? What then is my secret? Because if you call me a conqueror, I'm victorious. If you call me a conqueror, I win battles. If you call me a conqueror, I go everywhere and I have victory. What then is my secret to win battles? Look at somebody and say, that's a good question. That's a good question. So when you look at this lamentation and you look at it, say, like you ask yourself the secret of the conqueror, the psalmist opens up this text by praising God. He said, God, you have been so good to us. God, all these battles that we have won, everything is up to you. So normally I always give 3 points in sermons, but today because of time, I always drop 2 points on you to look about the secret of a conqueror. Because when you look at the first 3 verses of the Bible, it brings you the first point of the text that if you want to be victorious, the secret of a conqueror, number 1, never forget past mercies. Amen? Never forget past mercies. Never forget past mercies. I remember when we were young, when I was a kid, my mother was a storyteller. She would always tell us stories. And you know, you like to tell us stories about things that, you know, like I never saw my grandfather on my dad's side. I only met the one on my mother's side. But he would tell us stories about my grandfather on my father's side. And I would wish I was alive. He was still alive so that a young man, I can enjoy some of the privileges, you know, because we come from a clan in our tribe where my grandfather was the big boss. You know, he was the chief, paramount chief. That's what they call it, paramount chief. And sometimes my dad would look in his lazy self sometimes. He'd say, I just wish I had 3 slaves to just pick me up and take a bath. And my mother would always tell him, why don't you go back where you're coming from? You know, some of these stories. So we look at the story here. And the sons of Korah are trying to motivate people by telling them about these stories that happened in the past. That some of these battles they won, they didn't even have to use their sword. God opened a way for them. Some of these victories, all of these victories that they won in the past, and they begin to marvel and say, like, oh yes, I wish we were around that one. Because if you are going to be successful, if you are going to be victorious, never forget where you come from. Never forget past victories. Never forget, always be grateful for the things that have happened to you in the past. We say in my country, if you don't know where you are going, know where you're coming from. Because at every point in time in the life, you have to be grateful to someone who helped you in the past. And this is easy. It's natural as human beings that someone who helped us along the way, we tend to forget the person. Someone who helped us along the way, we tend to ignore. We tend to even forget. We were quick to forget as human beings. But then the thing dawns on me, like, if we are quick to forget the person that we see, how much more we quick to forget that the person that we don't see? Because in every sphere of life, human beings, we are easy to forget. When things are not good, it's easy to thank God when things are going right. It's easy to praise God when things are going right. But please, as you move into that space of a victorious conqueror, always remember the God who put you in that place in the first place. Always remember the God who took you to that journey, always remember the things. Because if you're going to be successful, that's one of the first steps you have to take as a believer. Always be grateful. This is the reason why we do Thanksgiving. We do testimonies to encourage people that if you don't, if things, I know things are hard, but always remember. In TRC right now, we are all tense. We are all stressed. We are all listening to the news. Some of us, we don't even watch the news. But that's that conviction, that's that faith in some of us, that God who has seen us through all these years, that's the same God that sits on the throne. So every Congolese, every person here present, that when you hear news of all the wars and the rumors of wars that go around, always remember, it is the same God who delivered you from the past. And it's that same God that did deliver you in this age. Amen? Never forget past mercies. Never forget past mercies. In Psalm 27, David was quick to point out when he opened up in Psalm 27. He says, when my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Beloved, that is a testimony of past mercies. That is the testimony of past mercies. I've got enemies all around me, but I know that same God, because he's done it for me in the past. Amen? And this is the thing that God always loves it when we are grateful to for things that he's done for us. And once we are grateful and once we keep on going on, never forgetting, new mercies open doors for us. New provisions always come our way because we go to God with a grateful heart of what he has done for us. Amen? Now, who is the conqueror? A conqueror is one who is focused on their goals, even in the face of setbacks. They fall, but they get back up. They get back up stronger as how they were, because they know how to collect themselves, how to learn from past experiences, how to take up and look forward for the other opportunity. So here is number two, that if you want to be a successful, the secret of a conqueror, you have to maintain your focus on God in the face of adversity. Amen? Maintain your focus on God in the face of adversity. Now, it is easy to praise God when everything is right. You see somebody in praise and worship. You see somebody jumping up and dancing. Somehow you know, like, God has answered the prayers of that person. You see somebody who is jumping. You see somebody who will come and give a testimony. Oh, God has been. It's always easy to praise God when things are going right. But the question is, will you still trust God when things are not going right? Will you still have faith in God when things are not going right? Will you still be faithful to serve God when things are not going right? Come on here for a moment. Because the question you still need to ask yourself is this. You can praise God in the mountain, but will you still be praising God when you're down in the valley? Look at somebody and wake that, because this is very important. This is the most important thing I will ever say in this sermon. The mountain is for our delight, but the valley is for our development. Let me say that again. Let me say that again. The mountain is for your delight, but the valley is for your development. Because down in the valley, that's where the struggle is. Down in the valley, that's where the strength is. Down in the valley, that's where the difficulty is. So will you still trust God when you are down in the valley? Will you still praise God when you are sick in the hospital bed? Will you still trust God when your children are going astray? Will you still have faith in God when Bubu, who says I do, now says I don't? Will you still have your same strength and your faith in God? Because every now and then, when you are down in the valley, we need to be praiseful to God. We need to be thankful to God so that God can develop us a spiritual muscle, so we can build up our strength, so we can build up our faith, we can build up everything that we need to go through life's journey. Because every now and then, everybody needs to go down through the valley. Because as we say in the world, what doesn't kill you make you stronger. What doesn't kill you will always make you stronger. I learned this when I was meditating on the text. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Paul had struggles. Paul went through the valley. He called it a thorn in the flesh. He called it a thorn in the flesh. And this Bible says that 3 times he besought God and God turned his back on him. 3 times he was looking for God and God turned his back on him. But then there is the assurance that when God finally showed his face to him, he said these words, "My grace is sufficient for you." I don't know what struggles you are going with, but let me prophesy over your life right now that God's grace is sufficient for you. Amen. God's grace, I'm preaching to myself right now. God's grace is sufficient for you. When you read the psalm, if you open your textbook, when you read the Bible, it goes to verse 8, and then there's something that is written there. It's called Selah. Selah. If you look at your Bible is good. At the end of verse 8, you say Selah. And this is something I touched on when I preached in the Psalms. Selah, when you read the psalm, is not something you should read. Because Selah is a musical term. It's an instruction to the musician. In the old days, the psalms were not read. They were sung. And so, it's always said to the chief musician, Selah, and Selah means rest. Selah means rest. So when you come here and you read, when you see Selah, please don't say Selah. If next week somebody comes and they give the text and they give the book of Psalms and they say Selah, know that they were not in church today. Because whenever we come to Sebeka, we come to learn. This is Sebeka. Selah means to rest. And so when I was preparing, I got into this point. I was struggling. Matter of fact, this whole month, I have been struggling. In every sphere of my life, I have been struggling. Every sphere of my life, I have been struggling. And I opened the text, and I'm reading this text, and I saw Selah. William, you need to take a break. You have been going through so much, and you are running on dry. You need to take a rest. So if I can be honest with you, last week I didn't come to church. I stayed home. Because one of the things that the Holy Spirit spoke to me is that you have been feeding too much. Now you need to be fed. So stay home and feed. And I spent the whole Sunday in front of the TV watching some programs, which is like they were preaching to me that how you need to rest. And so Pastor Joshua is not here. And so in the process of where I'm to like, okay, I need to take a break. I was going to ask him, Pastor, for the next few months, please don't put me on rooster to preach. Because it's at that point where I need to rediscover who I am in Christ. And the assurance is like, God, like, even though I'm going through that turmoil, even though I'm going through the valley, there's always this thing at the back of my mind that his grace will be sufficient for me. Amen? And it's like, one of the things I'm grateful for is like, when you are going through struggles and you talk to people and somebody tells you, I've been there before. And so in the midst of like, where I'm struggling, Sister Judith showed up in my office and I was explaining to her and she looked at me and she smiled and she says, I've been there before. I looked at a program, I was looking at some programs in TV and there was the pastor saying like, I'm going to take a break. I've been there before. Selah, just take a rest. Take a rest and look back. So when your secret of a victorious conqueror is one who actually take, the psalmist stops at a point. That when he's about to actually give up and everything, he stopped. Take a break. Look back to God's mercies. And always keep focus on God in the face of adversity. It is natural to feel discouraged. It is natural to feel empty. It is natural to feel dry. Jesus himself hung up on the cross and shouted, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because in this human form, all go through that moment when we cry to God and we feel that God doesn't hear us. But if you're here this morning like me, feeling in my shoes, Selah. Take a break. Go back to where it all started and feel the love of God flowing in you. And then you come back stronger. You come back wiser. You come back better. You come back filled with the Spirit to preach God's word. So as we move along, there's always this assurance that Jesus bore our sin. He bore our shame. He bore our suffering. He bore our affliction so that you will not have to go through it. Amen? Amen. A conqueror is one who never forgets past mercies. And a conqueror is one who maintains faith in God in the face of adversity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you because your assurance is, your grace is always sufficient for me. Your grace is always sufficient for us. I don't know where we go from here. I have no knowledge of what is happening. I don't even know how to process all of this. I don't know how to deal with all these emotions. I don't know how to handle this situation. But the truth is, you know. You know, and you know. So come at this very moment that every member here under the sound of my voice who going through similar structures, who going through similar difficulties, going through similar circumstances, Lord, speak to them in their quiet moment. To never ever forget past mercies. And in the space of adversity, they always look to you as their source of strength. Thank you, Father, for this word. And to God be the glory for all the things that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.